Malachi chapter 3, and I want to just say this at the beginning. We've come to a section, and that's one of the values of preaching through a book expositorily. The Holy Spirit chooses your topics for you. This is a subject that a lot of people like to avoid, and a lot of preachers like to avoid preaching on, and that's giving. And so we come to this, but let me just say a few things about this topic of giving. This congregation has been historically a very generous congregation. We've had some difficult economic times in these last couple of years. We're not through with it yet, I'm afraid. But even though we may have struggled a little bit with our budget, by the end of the year, there have always been generous givers. And in the years that I have been part of this church, we have always come out above our budget. And I don't have to tell you how unusual that is as you look at congregations around the country. I just don't see congregations that consistently maintain their budget and come out ahead each year the way this congregation does. This church has been extremely generous. Anytime there have been needs, anytime there's a crisis with a family within the church, anytime there's a disaster, you've responded again and again and again in the most generous ways. Just 2 weeks ago, we raised a little over $7,000 to go to help the folks in Myanmar. And this congregation already has budgeted and making plans for the next church plant. There have been members within this congregation who have given monies in excess of $150,000 and asked the elders, earmark this money for the next church plant. That is phenomenal giving, generous giving. And so in some ways, I would say, we might ought to just skip this lesson tonight, but we can't do that because exposure to the Word of God and being challenged by the Word of God in this area of giving, I think will enable us to grow in an area that I believe is already a strength. And so we need to be spurred on to greater giving as our capabilities allow. We have done some classes here. Dave Ramsey classes, Financial Peace University. We're planning to do another one this fall. And we have families that struggle in this area of finances. So we're going to be offering a class that will help us be better stewards of our finances again this fall. And I would encourage everybody who can to take part of this class. Vicki and I have been through it, and it has been a blessing in our life. And we learned things that I wish we had learned when we were first starting out in our marriage about responsible stewardship. And so I would encourage all of you, as you have opportunity to do this, we're planning to continue to offer it periodically as time goes by. But tonight I want us to look at this passage, see what Malachi has to say on the subject of financial freedom. And that's what I've entitled this lesson, Financial Freedom. And I want to give a little warning here at the beginning. This verse is a favorite verse of health and wealth preachers. And you can go home most any time of the day or night, and you can flip through the stations way up there on the television dial, and you'll find preachers preaching about Christians and finances and how God wants you to be rich and how if you'll just send in some seed money, you'll be blessed and God will do this for you and that for you. And many of these men are already living proof that God has blessed them abundantly because they're very wealthy and they are living the lifestyle of the rich and famous, and they're doing it on the backs of poor people, I believe, who have sent in their monies hoping for a miracle, praying for a miracle, and I denounce that as strongly as I possibly can. Health and wealth preaching and a health and wealth gospel is the very opposite of what Malachi is talking about here. And so I want to say that clearly. But the truth is that many Christians are in financial bondage, and it is never, ever God's will that Christians get themselves behind the eight ball financially. That's not His will for us. God does want to see us move beyond financial bondage. He wants to see us have the ability to be generous on occasions when we would like to be. So I want to give you a little test here at the beginning, and this is a financial bondage test. You can either answer yes or no. Just keep track of your answers. Okay, here's question number one. Do you charge your daily expenditures on your credit card? I mean, for groceries and things that you need, do you have to charge them on your credit card? Number two, do you put off paying a bill that is currently due until next month? Does that happen fairly often? It's due today, but you can't pay it, so you're going to have to wait till next month, till after the paycheck, before you can pay that. Number three, do you have a desire to get rich quick? Do you dream about buying that lottery ticket or having a visit from Ed McMahon? Oh, I forgot Ed McMahon's gone bankrupt himself, hasn't he? Do you want to get rich quick? Have you ever considered doing something dishonest to get out of a financial bind? Have you ever even flirted with that notion? Next, do you have creditors who regularly call and badger you at home because of unpaid bills? Do you and your mate ever fight over money? And then lastly, do you fail to give regularly at church because you can't afford to meet your obligations in other areas? Now, if you answered yes to over half of those questions, then you might just be in financial bondage. And Satan loves to get Christians in financial bondage because he knows it's going to create problems within a family. He knows it's going to cripple your ability to meet the needs that are presented, that Christians can respond to help others. And let me tell you, it's not just poor people who have money struggles. There are people that bring in great monthly paychecks, who have wonderful salaries, who have obligated themselves up to their eyeballs, and they're in debt, and they have hawked everything, and they're still on credit, and you wouldn't think it, but they are, even though they bring in good income. So it's not just the poor that we're talking to. Scripture has much to say about the way we use our money. Did you know that 16 out of the 38 Proverbs, that's almost half, deal with finances and our approach to money? Did you know that there are about 500 verses in the Bible that deal with faith, in the New Testament, that deal with faith? There are also about 500 verses that talk about prayer. You know how many verses deal with money and stewardship? 2,000 verses. God understands how closely our view of money and our use of money is connected to our spiritual health or the lack thereof. And there's a little secret that I want to share with you at the very beginning about all this. God does not need your money. God does not want your money. A lot of people say, well, that's all the church ever talks about. And God just tries to make me feel guilty so he'll get more of my money. God doesn't need or want your money. God already owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hillsides, according to the psalmist. In Psalm 50:12, God says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. No, the reason we have all this teaching on stewardship and all these verses that encourage us to handle our money responsibly so that we can be generous when occasions present themselves, that's all there so that God can help us become the kind of people that he wants us to be. These verses are not there so that God can raise funds for his needs. They're there because he wants to grow Christians. And he knows if we can learn to handle our money responsibly, if we can learn to be generous givers, that we will grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. God is the ultimate giver, and he wants us to be like him, and he wants to bless us so that we can have the wherewithal to bless others. Look again. Let's start in verse 7 here in Malachi chapter 3. Verse 7, ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You know, God has said here something that He's never said anywhere else. He invites people to test Him in this area to see if His promise is true. In the area of resources, if you're generous, God's promised to bless you and replenish your resources. But He requires total participation. You know, sometimes we can sit back and we can take the credit and we can bask in the glow of the generosity of our church family, and we can say, you know, we're from a church that's generous and gives and makes the budget and does all these great things, but we're not necessarily the ones that are participating in it. You know, it's easy to do that. God requires total participation of His people. The entire nation, He says, is under a curse because of their unwillingness to live up to what God asked of them in this area of giving. They were under a curse. Over in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church there, and he said to them, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. Now, nobody can tell you how much to give. It's between you and God. It's not my business. It's not the elders' business. It's not anyone else's business. That's between you and God. You determine the amount, but you need to grow in your giving. Just like any other part of the Christian life, you need to grow in that area. You need to be challenged. You need to raise it up a notch periodically and stretch yourself and see if what God said is not true, that He will bless you in this area. You know who should give in the church? Anyone with an income. And I believe that includes children with an allowance. You start early and you begin with those habits. I remember the very first time I ever gave was a little child, and my parents, so I wouldn't drop it, would hold the nickel for me, and then just before the plate came, they'd give me the money, and I learned to put my nickel in the plate from the time I was little, and I was proud about that. I felt like, well, I'm a part of something bigger than myself, and I can remember putting that money in and thinking, well, that'll go to help missionaries, or that'll go to help someone, and my parents taught me that. The joy of giving can be planted in a child's heart from a very early age. Everyone can do it. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus described those who were very wealthy who came in, and they gave a lot of money in the temple treasury. But God also honored the widow who gave two mites. That's all she had, and she gave that. And God actually was more blessed and honored by her gift than by any of the others. You know, Jesus made that observation. The widow put in more than all the rest. You know, it's like that old story, I'm sure you've heard it, about the two farmers, and they were talking about how they would like to be generous with what they had. And one of them said, well, if you had 1,000 acres, would you give 100 of it to God? And he said, yeah, if I was blessed with that much land, I would do that. And he said, well, if you had 100 cattle, would you be willing to give 10 of them to the Lord? He said, sure, I would. If I ever get my herd up that size, I would gladly do that. And he said, well, if you had 10 pigs, would you give one of them to the Lord? And he said, that's not fair. You know I've got 10 pigs already. You've got to start wherever you are and with whatever you have. You don't have to be wealthy to give. Listen to Paul's description of the Macedonian Christians in 2 Corinthians 8. He said, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty, it welled up in rich generosity, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. You know, we live in the most affluent land in the world. I appreciated the prayer that Elvis prayed tonight. We need a reminder. We gripe about how expensive our groceries are getting and how high the price of gasoline is. But you travel to a third world country and you come back here. Those of the group that just came back from Mexico and saw how some folks live down there, we still are living in one of the richest lands in this world. We're living at a level beyond most people who've ever lived, even nobility throughout history. We are rich, and I'm afraid at times spoiled by all that we have become accustomed to having. You know, even poor, debt-encumbered people can give. Everyone can give. It may not be a lot, but we can all give. And if you're planning to wait until you get ahead financially, I can pretty well tell you, you'll never learn to give, not the way God asks you to give. There's this idea of proportion. He speaks of a tithe here. We, as Christians, are not under the tithing system that the Jews were. I believe God expects us to be more generous than a tithe. The tithe was just 10%. We have been blessed so incredibly. Most of us are capable of doing much more than just 10%. How much should you give? Well, God asks us to be free will givers. But listen to these instructions on free will giving in Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. You know, God promises for people who are generous, and I have seen this. I have seen this so many times. Some of the people that are most blessed materially are the very people who are the most generous. Haven't you seen that? And I've seen people who are so stingy, and things just never seem to go right for them financially. That is a principle, a spiritual principle of Scripture. In Proverbs 11:24, we're told, one man gives freely and yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That's straight from the mouth of God. You be generous, God will refresh you. He will replenish you. He will enable you to continue to be generous on other occasions. You know, there's an important point, and that is this, you know, and I've had to look seriously at this myself. If you chronically are struggling with your finances, at times, not always, but at times it can be this very matter, that you're not generous, that you're a little stingy with what you have. Why would God bless you with abundance when you're not even faithful with the little that He's given into your hands? In Luke 16:10, that's what it says. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. It's interesting, isn't it, that he uses that word dishonest, because that's what Malachi is talking about. People who are dishonest, people who rob God by not giving what they're capable of doing. Well, a man robbed God. God said, you rob me in this matter of tithes. And then he invites us to test him. He goes on and talks here in Malachi about something else that tends to happen. Look what he says there about the land that's under a curse and things seem to go wrong. Now, I'm probably not one to be talking, because in the last week I've had my water line break and I've had my roof leak and my basement have water come up in it. And, you know, I'm beginning to think, well, God's, you know, trying to send me a message. I told Vicki, I'm glad we don't have cattle, because they'd probably get murrain of cattle next. That was one of the plagues. But there have been times in my life, you know, and I you can probably see this too, when you've not been as generous as you should, and it seems like that things go wrong, and you just don't have enough to make it through the month. And then there are times when you're generous, and it seems like that everything seems to go right, and your money stretches farther. And there have been times I can't account for that. I don't understand how that works, because the same amount comes in, but there are times when God just blesses and stretches and things seem to work out in a much better way. Look over in 2 Corinthians. We're almost done, but I want you to read this passage with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Down in verse 6, Paul has to remind this church of this spiritual truth. Remember this, he says, whoever sows sparingly, that means stingy, will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now He, that is God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. God told those people through Malachi, back over here in Malachi chapter 3, He said, you test me and you see if it's not going to be as I said. He said, I can prevent pests from devouring your crops. I can keep the grapes from dropping off your grapevines. I can bless you in every area of your life. I can bless your business. I can bless your farm. And if you'll be generous, I'll do that. And everyone will look at you and say, boy, what a delightful land that person lives in, because they're under the blessing of God. If you want to hear a story where this has been borne out, ask Elvis Denny about that and ask him about some of the challenges he's given to new Christians and the way God has honored this very promise. Elvis has told me some stories about that. You may have tried it before. You may have tested God in this area. This is one area where God gives you permission to test Him. Try for a month growing in your generosity. Try for a month doing things that you've not done before. Stretch yourself a little and be generous. Bless people around you. Give a little bit more than you've ever done before. And just see if God will not honor the promise that He made here in Malachi chapter 3. We serve a God who gives. And the greatest gift of all was the gift of His Son, Jesus, our Savior. He gave His all. And He wants us to be just like Him. He wants us to be giving people. Generous, open-hearted followers of Him. Tonight, we're going to close with an invitation song. And really the invitation is for anyone who wants to accept the gift. You may want to have wished you could have won the lottery sometime. You may have wished that you could have won one of those big prize tickets. But let me tell you, the most valuable thing that you can ever possess is not a matter of chance. It's there for your receiving with certainty, and that is the gift of Jesus Christ. He has promised you not only Himself, but He's promised you a home in heaven forever. It is riches beyond anything this earth could ever offer, and it's there for you. If you want to receive the gift that Jesus Christ offers through His death on the cross, the gift of salvation and eternal life, He's paid the price. He's made it available to you, and He asks you to accept Him on His terms. If you've never turned from sin and confessed Him and been baptized, you can do it tonight. And you can leave here the richest individual in the world, an heir to the King. If you need to respond tonight for this reason or for prayer, as we prayed this morning for Joel, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.